Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Marquitz. We're your hosts for this weekend show. Another fairly volatile week for stocks, markets broadly, as well as the metals, but maybe a little less volatile than the week before. The metals started off on the wrong foot to kick off this week, but stabilized a little bit towards the end of the week. All eyes, again, being on the Fed meeting next week and just how many basis points the Fed will hike rates. We're going to cover a lot of the market moves as well as some predictions looking ahead to Fed policy, not just to next meeting, but throughout the rest of this year, throughout this weekend show. We're kicking off this weekend show with Adrian Day, president of Adrian Day Asset Management, also manages the Euro Pacific Gold Fund. Adrian, before recording, we were chatting about the markets broadly, and I simply asked you, what's catching your eye? What are you paying most attention to? And you pointed to some of the macro factors. There's a number of different macro factors that we can touch on, but start us off, Adrian, with what you think is the most important macro factor, big picture, to focus on for investors.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you. And thanks for having me, Corey. Hello, Shad. I think the biggest macro factor is the Federal Reserve, what the Federal Reserve is doing relative to other central banks around the world and relative to the realities in the United States. That's a big topic, and there's a lot of dimensions to it. But to me, that is the biggest thing. I mean, the Fed is talking about raising rates and reducing the balance sheet, and acting as though inflation, they're going to defeat inflation, which they don't think is that strong anyway. You know, the Federal Reserve members publish a thing called the dot plot, where they all make their predictions for where the inflation and where inflation and GDP and so on are going to be next year and the year after and so on. And inflation, they're looking for less than 3% inflation next year. That could be, but it certainly is that's a fairly aggressive assumption that inflation is going to get to under 3% next year and back down to 2%, which not coincidentally happens to be their target longer run. I don't see that happening, frankly, certainly not over the next 12 months. Just because inflation is already fairly, as we've discussed, it's fairly well ingrained in the U.S. at the moment and in other countries around the world. It's not just the U.S. by any means. And the Fed, their actions, or at least I should say what they're promising, is by no means, everybody's talking about the hawkish Fed, but what the Fed is promising is by no means hawkish given the environment. And that's important. If you look at what the Fed is talking about raising interest rates, a year from now, at the end of the next year, end of the next 12 months, real interest rates would still be deeply negative, more deeply negative than in the middle of the 1970s at the onset of the great inflation, if the Fed does its most aggressive plan for raising interest rates. And that's the key. You know, everybody thinks the Fed's going to back away, you know, quickly and surrender and turn course. But you look at some of these previous examples when the Fed did that, and inflation was, the published inflation numbers were far lower than they are now. So we've got inflation at, you know, 8.5%. You need interest rates to go much higher than 3.5%, which is what the Fed's bold action would call for. Same with the balance sheet. You know, reducing the balance sheet by $95 billion a month over the next 12 months would still leave us with a balance sheet of almost $8 trillion, which is more than twice what it was 2 years ago. So what I'm saying is that given where we are today in terms of the starting point for interest rates, where inflation is today, the Fed's actions are simply not fit for purpose. And they just sound hawkish in comparison with 2000, 2007, and 2015 and so on. But the conditions are so much worse today.
Well, Adrian, I think you bring up some good points there because the Fed has never been this far behind the curve. And so even though they're talking tough and they're talking what some people consider hawkish, to your point, and we joked about this a couple months ago, even if they did 100 basis point hikes a couple times in a row, we'd still have negative real rates and things would still be deeply negative. And so they're starting from so far behind the curve that even if they do what they plan on doing, it's not going to really do much to tame inflation. I guess my question is, if they are maybe hoping that some of these supply chain issues get worked out, that the war in Ukraine resolves itself, but basically they're hoping that the year-over-year comparables on inflation start trending lower, and so the rate of change in inflation starts heading down, and then they can say, oh, we can take a victory lap. But wouldn't prices still be really high for the consumer, really high for business, and couldn't that still put the brakes on the economy?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, first of all, for the Biden administration here in the U.S. and others to sort of point the finger at Putin and point the finger at China's COVID lockdowns, of course those things are not helping. But before Russia invaded Ukraine, inflation was already a problem. And, you know, I have no doubt that in 6 months' time, when, as we discussed before the show started, you know, the year-on-year comparables, the base effect will kick in with a higher base instead of a lower base. And obviously, it's much more difficult to get an 8% inflation, an 8% increase in prices when you're starting at a much higher level. But prices are not going backwards. They're not going back, I don't think. They're not going back to where they were before the war started. So I think to look at these other factors, these are, gosh, I was going to say icing on the cake. That's kind of not a very good metaphor to use when we're talking about negative effects like wars and shutdowns. But these things are simply incremental to the core reasons why prices are going up. And the core reasons that prices are going up, of course, is because money's being created excessively for 10 years, but particularly for the last 2 years. In the lockdown, we had $1 trillion worth of loans to small business. We had, what, $800 billion worth of checks handed out to people. Well, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people refinanced because took advantage to refinance because of the Fed's policies pushing rates down. And so when they refinanced, a lot of people refinanced precisely to take money out. And so all of this free money and easy money, you know, is money that consumers spend by and large. And we're seeing that now. You know, I mean, on the last week's earnings calls from companies, all sorts of companies across the board, they're all talking about, you know, the consumer is spending. Well, of course the consumer's spending because they were given so much free money.
All right, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but for all of you tuning in on the radio, we do continue this conversation with Adrian Day for a good another 10 minutes, continuing to chat about potential recessions and where the Fed stands in terms of the markets. If you want to hear that full interview, please visit our website, kereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Richard Postma.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to see one, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed that first extended segment with Adrian Day, talking more about the macro outlook, especially when it comes to the Fed. In the next two segments, we are joined by Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. We like bringing Doc on more at the end of the month to recap some of the monthly moves, and Doc gives us an update on where he sees the markets going. We are going to touch on gold, but we're also going to touch on a few of the other precious metals, as well as commodities and U.S. markets. So let's get right into it, Doc, starting with gold. Gold down about 3.5% this month. However, gold did close above 1900 on the futures and the spot market. So a monthly close above 1900, some people find that encouraging. And quite frankly, the drop that we saw this month doesn't look devastating by any means on the chart. 1900 is still quite a good price level for gold. What's your outlook for gold now that we did just have a down month?
Well, the positive for gold is that we have left some gaps to the upside on some of these charts, which is, it tells you that we're going to be back up there someday, and the question is when. One of the negatives is we've taken out the 50-day moving average to the downside, and we've had closes below that now, so that's a negative. When you look at the weekly chart, the weekly chart on gold also looks like it's ready to turn over. I think next week could be a little bit of a negative for gold, and then we'll see what happens after that. But the charts I love are always the monthly charts, because those are the ones that, as we've talked about before, get rid of the noise, and it shows what is most likely going to be the trend. We are in a trading range now, according to the monthly chart. And if we had closed above last month, this month, I think May could have been a horrendous month, because that would have been three higher closes in a row. And but we're closing lower. The question is then what happens in May. And we could keep challenging the upper Bollinger Band, but now the Bollinger Bands are starting to tighten, which is very interesting, and they could tighten further. And on the MACD, what was encouraging for the last 2 months is that the 12-month has actually superimposed on the 26-month moving average, and that's always a positive from the standpoint of, are we getting into a situation where we're bottoming? And so May is going to really hold a picture for us as far as that's concerned, whether that 12-month moves back off that 26-month moving average or not. And the strength indicators are still pretty good for gold since they haven't sold off steeply. In fact, they've moved back up, which is also a positive. And that's moved down slowly over time, and we've talked about that. And that is really the strength indicators show the underpinning strength to the gold market. But having said that, there's one thing I'm really concerned about, is when you look at long-term charts, like the monthly charts, and I've looked at them for a long time, is you often, when you see a pattern like this on the monthly charts where the Bollinger Bands have turned sideways along with the 20-month moving average, in fact, that's even moved down a little bit. One thing that bothers me is that I said this months ago that often you see at least pricing of an asset class when you see a picture like this often has to challenge the lower Bollinger Band at least once. And it hasn't done that. And also, it hasn't challenged the 50-month moving averages, which have a little ways to go. So this bothers me a little bit, the fact that pricing hasn't impinged the lower Bollinger Band, which if gold continues to move down here over the next few months, it's going to probably impinge it right around the low 1700s. And that's the most worrisome thing, I think, about these charts.
Well, Doc, I'm sure that some listeners may not like to hear that gold could potentially head back to the low 1700s, but I understand the rationale behind what you're saying, that you think it needs to go back and test on the monthly that lower Bollinger Band. My question would be, why does it have to in a bull market? I know that we've been correcting for, you know, since August of 2020, but one could also argue we were just at 2050 back in March. So it's not like it fell out of bed and went down into the 1600s or 1500s. It actually got close to an all-time high, and then it actually hit 2000 again a week or two ago. So it's still bouncing up around that top level. Is there any way that it could avoid having to go down and test that lower Bollinger Band in the low 1700?
It would have to break that upper Bollinger Band, and we would need 2 or 3 months of where we stayed above that. And we just can't seem to close above it. We moved above it in pricing, and I'm surprised actually it did. And some would say it's due to Ukraine, because I've said in the past, I don't think we're going to challenge those upper levels any earlier than and resume this bull market any earlier than 2023. And it looked like it was going to, but it just couldn't sustain it, and it closed below that upper Bollinger Band. We would have to see some months that would close above that to really get excited about the fact that we're starting the next leg to the bull market, and that's what I would look for.
All right, Doc, let's move on to the gold stocks then. I'm looking at GDX here, and GDX down about 7.75%. This month, the gold stocks, at least the majors, seem like they were doing pretty well. Underlying juniors, mid-tiers, development companies, those have continued to struggle, and I think pretty disappointingly, some of those juniors are back to levels pre-pandemic, which seems kind of unbelievable when you consider where the gold price has been, but these juniors continue to take it on the chin. What are you watching in terms of that gold stock sector broadly?
Well, once again, we have some nice gaps that we're going to have to fill to the upside someday. Who knows when that's going to be. But what I would really like to see here is to see in May one more just ugly sell-off in these juniors. And then I think we'd be through it. But then the problem is if we do that, it's not like we're going to just take off or a V-shaped recovery like we saw in March of 2020. We're most likely going to have to consolidate and build a base on these things for a while. I think that's what we're going to see in this sector in the future. But once again, it was discouraging to see the GDXJ sell off. And if you look at the last peak it was trying to hit, the last peak was back in June, in about June of 2021, when it was at about 54.76. We got up to 51.92. So we had another lower high. And so that tells you that there's still weakness in this sector, and that there still probably will be going forward for a while.
All right, guys, we have to wrap up this segment now, but as promised, Doc, we're having you back on next segment, so everyone stick around. We are going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Kansas Democratic Governor Laura Kelly has declared a state of disaster emergency after an intense storm produced multiple tornadoes in her state. Outside of Wichita, in the city of Andover, several homes were damaged and the roof of the YMCA collapsed and cars were slammed against walls. This man has some scary moments while hunkering down in his basement.
I was trying to figure out why there was so much wind. I looked up, and some of the flooring for the upstairs was ripped up, and I could only see just debris flying in the distance.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, the worst month Wall Street has seen since 2020 is done. Stocks falling sharply with the tech-heavy NASDAQ and S&P finishing at new lows for the year. You're listening to USA Radio News. Two men are being sentenced to 16 months in prison following a California Justice Department investigation into a statewide retail theft ring. California Attorney General Rob Bonta says he thinks this will help slow the state's rise in robberies and theft.
The way to deter crime is for those who seek to commit crime to know that they will be arrested if they commit the crime. They have been arrested. They have been sentenced or convicted. They have been convicted to felony convictions consistent with the activity that they committed.
Alexander Coty is pleading guilty to the beheading of three Americans and killing one with blunt force trauma in 2014 and 2015. Two of the Americans murdered were freelance journalists. The other two were aid workers. Coty was charged with an additional 8 counts of conspiracy and faces a mandatory life sentence. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And we are continuing to chat with Richard Boseman, a.k.a. Doc. Doc, last segment, we talked a lot about gold and the gold stocks. Let's shift our focus a little bit to silver, because silver, it was outperforming gold for a while there. Even the silver stocks started to do pretty well, but silver never had that type of breakout, or at least close to breakout, that gold did when gold moved over 2,000 again. Just recently, silver very much stuck in the middle of the range, and most recently topped out at about $27.50 and is now right around, let's say, $23 to end this month. Silver just can't seem to get out of its way and has been trading in this range ever since mid-2020. What's your outlook for silver?
Well, I think there's real good odds that 22 on silver again, or 22 to 22.50. I said that on the site the other day. And sure enough, it looks like we're heading down to it. And the thing with silver is it tells you that even though there's underpinning strength to gold, that the precious metal sector is really struggling, because if it really was ready to take off, silver should react, I think, better than it is. As it relates to gold, but it's acting poorer, frankly. And silver really worries me, but I'll tell you what, there's going to be some really good buys in silver stocks with this move down. And every time silver moves down, those stocks, a lot of them get even weaker. And there's some really good companies in the sectors, and I've been watching those because I want to take initial positions at them at nice low prices, and I think we're going to get that opportunity.
One thing we have to consider here, Doc, is as I guess down as we've just talked about for gold, gold stocks, and silver, we look to the U.S. markets and the S&P, that's down a little over 7% just this month. Broadly, we are seeing weakness in general markets, and the NASDAQ, that's down 11.5% this month. So, hey, look, precious metals are doing bad, but so are the conventional markets. Let's talk about the U.S. equity markets. What is your outlook for these markets that have been weak all year so far?
Look for more weakness, Corey.
Weakness across the board, hey, Doc?
Yeah, you're not going to want to be in this conventional market, I don't think, the next 2 months. I said back in December that I felt this was going to be a bad year for the conventional markets, and it's playing out. And I mentioned how watch January, because January often is your precursor. Sure enough, January was not very nice to the markets. And now we're sitting, when you look at the S&P, we're sitting right now at the 400 exponential moving average. We moved off of that back in March. And now we're right back to it. But I'll give you a dollar to donuts that next month we're going to take that out. And once we take it out, we're going to have a real problem in those markets. And we're going to start the next leg down. And I think that's almost a foregone conclusion. I would be very surprised if we don't see some real ugliness in May. And that's also going to not be a positive for the precious metals. They seem to be inverse a lot, but I don't think when that happens, when we break lower, whether, you know, the precious metals will be inversely related this time around, because when you start to see that kind of damage, people don't care what asset class they own. They just want to get out of it. So it's not going to be a positive thing.
Yeah, Doc, when we see those liquidity events, it becomes a sell everything kind of market, and no sector is spared. You said dollar to donuts. That makes me think of the raging U.S. dollar we've seen lately and the high price of donuts and food, the high price of inflation. A lot of this is on the back of the Fed policy and the interest rate hikes, but we're in a bizarre environment where we're seeing a high dollar, but we're also seeing high inflation. It's like deflationary and inflationary at the same time. Very strange market. What do you make of the U.S. dollar? Is it getting close to topping out here in this parabolic move, or does it have further to go? And how might that affect the commodity sector?
Yeah, and what's bad about the dollar is that the dollar, if we close up here, well, it looks like where we are, is we've taken out previous highs, gone back over the last 7 years. And previous highs down around the early 2017 was 103.82, and the high at the beginning of 2020 was 103.96. And but we're going to close higher than their intra-month close. So that is not positive for those who wish to see a break in the dollar. But we're getting into overbought territory, but we may be up here for 2 or 3 months yet. I think the commodity area is starting to top out too. I think copper is showing some weakness. And if the Fed is really, if they really walk the talk, which I think they will this time for a while, of course, we don't know how long that's going to be. But I think that also is going to be an obtuse factor for commodities. And the dollar won't do that any favor.
Yeah, fair enough, Doc. And we've also seen a bit of a bounce in bonds as well. Interest rates have essentially skyrocketed from, yes, very low levels. They're still at very low levels. But you look at the rate of change of where, let's say, the 10-year was. The 10-year, just back in March, opened at about 1.7%. We're up almost at 3% right now. That's a huge move just in 2 months. Also goes hand in hand with the Fed tightening, and now the Fed seems like most likely going through a 50 basis point hike just next week. What's your outlook for bonds and interest rates broadly?
I think the bond market is broken right now, and on the monthly, it's taken out some very important support areas. When you look at the 50-month moving average, simple moving average, and the exponential moving average. It has closed significantly below that for the first time in years. And that tells you that we're starting a really reversal in this bond market that we haven't seen in years. And that should worry everybody. And I get the sense that once the Fed has to do what it does, they're going to have a hard time reversing all the damage that they're going to create. They've been jawboning so far, but now they're going to really show whether they mean what they've been saying. And I'm afraid they are. And they're going to stick with this until they cause a real crack in some market. But I'm afraid they're going to cause cracks in most of these markets. It's going to be housing market, bond market, stock market, commodity market. Commodities might not get hit as solidly because of the supply constraints and other things. But what they want to do is basically beat down demand, because really this inflation is demand pull from supply chain issues. And they have to beat down the consumer demand to see a real reversal in the rate of inflation. And I think they're going to get it by July because of their policies, not only their policies, but that's when the real inflation started back in July of 2021. And so the comparisons year over year are going to get better, I think, by July just on their own. And then through the damage they're going to create, it might even make them look a little bit better.
All right, Doc. Always great chatting with you. We covered a lot in this two segments, but I think there is a lot to recap here. And remember, as much as we look individually at sectors, we need to understand that everything is down this month. And look, everything has actually been looking quite weak throughout the tail end of this month. There have been some actually decent sectors, but again, just the sell-off in the last couple weeks, I think, caught some people a little off guard. Doc, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat, I'm sure, by the end of next month. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are chatting now with Brian Lanny, founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review website, also writes a premium newsletter where Brian shares a lot of his due diligence, a lot of what his models are telling him about precious metals stocks, mostly focused on a bit more advanced stage projects, not the grassroots discovery plays. A lot of projects that have an asset and have some sort of an economic study. And Brian, you dive into these economic studies. You run your own models. The problem being with developers right now is that they don't seem to be getting any love. I don't know if the market doesn't think that they can finance projects or if it's just too uneasy about the move into production, what have you. It seems like developers or more defined assets, multi-million ounce assets, are not getting any love. Maybe there are simply too many of them out there right now. Broadly, though, Brian, as you've been running some of your models, what's your takeaway from potentially the undervaluedness that the developers carry in the sector right now?
Well, thanks for having me, Corey. You know, I think that definitely is a big portion of where the value is right now in the market. I think the big problem is it's not the sexiest part to be. You know, people want to see exploration where, you know, they've got that blue sky potential and, you know, the stock can move 10 times in a week. Or on the producing side where there's cash flow and there's quarterlies and there's, you know, you can trade those. Whereas the developers really are in that kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, but that middle zone where, you know, they got some ounces, which is actual real value as opposed to the exploration companies, but they don't have that cash flow. All they're doing is burning. So I think invariably when you get into markets like this, it's seemingly the first group of companies that, you know, takes it on the chin. And, you know, for people that kind of focus on that, like such as myself, it brings a lot of opportunity. But what I think investors need to contemplate is really focus on those catalysts, on how that company is going to get that value recognized. You know, there's numerous examples, like in the premium portfolio right now. You know, I really, really like the top, you know, seven companies in the portfolio, and each of them have a very good value proposition, you know, meaning good risk to reward. but the market just isn't recognizing it right now. They just it doesn't care. So for me, I continue to look and try to find new projects that offer, you know, great value, but really concentrate on those reasons why the market is going to recognize that value and, of course, move that share price upwards. So for me, you know, it's been a slog over the last, like, March and April. March was actually quite a great month with the gold price being so strong. Met a ton of companies, and some companies that have added to the watch list, but I haven't found necessarily anything that I want to take my cash and invest into the company, because I just don't know if the market is necessarily in the mood to recognize developers for the stuff that they've, or the value that they've added. But, you know, honestly, if you've got a longer time horizon, I think that's exactly where you want to be. And for me, I'm still, you know, 90% invested in the market. So in actual fact, you know, I'm still very much in the market. It's just that last 10% that I haven't deployed yet.
Well, Brian, I find this topic to be very interesting because I've noticed there are literally about two or three dozen companies that have defined pretty interesting resources, 1 million ounces, 2 million ounces, 3 million ounces, 4 million ounces. There's a lot of them out there, but there are a couple different categories, and this is what I'd like to ask you about. There are some that we kind of see each cycle. Yeah, they've got a lot of ounces in the ground, but they're bulk tonnage, low grade, not that interesting, and they never seem to get built. There are some that have come up recently that also have big ounces, but they haven't. They maybe were forgotten projects, and they've got big resources, but again, not all resources in the ground are the same. What has your attention when you're trying to pick which development companies you think have those catalysts that are going to get either a major interested in buying it or that's going to allow investors to jump on the train and watch them move it from development into production?
I'll answer two different ways. Firstly, I'll say that I don't have a defined or set criteria exactly for the company. Like, economics is definitely, or the quantitative side of things is definitely the first thing I look at. And then some qualitative factors, like especially the people that are running the company, the amount of money they have and such. And then, you know, broadly speaking, again, I think you can never count out size, meaning that, you know, they got a big property size, you know, let's say 10,000 hectares. The ounces, you definitely want to have over 100,000 ounces of production. And, you know, these sort of numbers. But that doesn't necessarily have to be the way it is. And that's what I'll answer a second way. I think that, you know, these juniors can have different stories, and these different stories can be made up of different components. And I'm going to talk mainly about the qualitative side here, such as like where they're located. Let's say there's a 1 million ounce deposit, oxide deposit in Nevada, and it's located, I don't know, near a mid-tier producer or even a senior producer. And let's say it's fairly high grade. Let's say it's 1.5 grams per ton, all near surface, all the other stuff, you know, works out. So the value's there in what you calculated in your discounted cash flow model, plus the company is selling at a discount to that value. And then you've got the other component of, you know, their proximity to this mid-tier or senior, and, you know, the truckability and the easy processing of the ore. I think you can put together a storyline that says, hey, you know what, this is a very attractive project to that mid-tier or senior producer. So in those cases, if the storyline fits, I would be a buyer. Conversely, you know, if you're looking at deposits, let's say it's up near James Bay or, you know, northern Quebec, and you've got that same 1 million ounce deposit, it's not oxide, but, you know, it's 100 meters deep, and it's, you know, a fairly good grade. Let's say it's, you know, 5 to 6 grams per ton. I think you're going to have a really hard problem if you don't have some more scale there. 1 million ounces up in James Bay, northern Quebec, is going to be quite hard for you to develop. And I think there, you know, for that story to work, you're going to have to see size there. You're going to have to see probably 3 million ounces. The grade probably works. And then again, you want to see over 100,000 ounces in available production. So I think, you know, I don't think it's ever really, you know, these components, is how all those components flow together and how that story builds. And so when I'm looking at stuff, I don't necessarily discount anything at first, but I want to see how that whole story comes together. And that's mixed with the fact that the company has to be selling for less than it's worth. And that's how I, you know, get my degree of safety when I make that investment.
So, Brian, you've been around this market for a while. We all have. And quite frankly, I remember a little over a decade ago, when you had 1 million ounces, people took notice. Oh, okay, this group has 1 million ounces or 2 million ounces. To Shad's point earlier, it seems like we have a lot of these projects right now. And it's been something that's in my head recently is that, do we have too many defined resources that are of 1 million to 2 to 3 million ounces that won't get taken over, so it makes it even harder to value these multi-million ounce deposits because there are more of them?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess it's a matter of perspective. It's like, what is your time horizon? So if you're saying in the next 3 to 5 years, then I would say, yeah, there's going to be a huge percentage of those deposits that don't get developed. And then the second to that is, but if you have a 20 or 30 year timeline, then, you know, those 1 million ounce deposits might mean a whole lot more in 20 years than they do today. But for most investors, and myself included, I'm looking at the next, let's say, 2 to 3 years is kind of where I'm looking. You have to make sure all those components of the story work. Again, the quantitative side, like the deposit has to have some good economics. So if it's 1 million ounces, you're probably looking or hoping that it's an oxide deposit near surface. So those, you know, upfront capital costs are lower. You're probably need to be near some infrastructure. Like this thing probably can't be located the far reaches of Alaska or, you know, the Northwest Territories or the northern part of the Yukon. So, you know, what I'm saying is these components all have to work, and it definitely takes some thought into how the investor looks at it and puts that whole story together and really, you know, is able to justify themselves why this smaller deposit is going to get built or bought by a senior mining company. And that's, you know, honestly, that's why I would say, and I think most investors, if you talk to the like really experienced guys who've been around for 30, 40 years, they say you don't bother with small deposits or small mines, because small mines have the same problems as big mines. And, they're absolutely right. And I think for most investors or the majority of investors out there, really you should just be focusing on those top tier things that really stand out. But again, it all depends on the investor. You know, what their risk profile is, what their knowledge level is, and, you know, how they actually view the market.
Each company is different. Unfortunately, it seems like every company is getting sold down right now. So that makes it a little bit tougher. But either way, though, Brian, it is always great chatting with you, and I do appreciate you wrapping up this first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. Again, everybody, thank you for tuning in, and please keep in touch when you have any questions or you think that we should be featuring any companies on the show. Our email addresses are fleck@kereport.com and chat@kereport.com. We're going to be back with all of you Monday morning. Please, again, go back to our website. Check out all those daily editorials from last week. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes, even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay, like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.